Blog Talk Radio.
That men would praise the Lord for His goodness and His mercy. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His wondrous works toward men. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord for His mercy endureth forever. He made the heavens and earth and all that is. Holy name.
Now if we just
for His works toward men. Now if we just
God is so good. Just love the Lord. Just love what He does and how He just keeps us encouraged and keeps us blessed, and He keeps us with perks coming. I love the Lord. I bless His name because there is no one like Him. He's uncomparable, and He's wonderment. Whew, as I say each time, I'm amazed at who he is and what he is and what he does and how he blesses and how he keeps us. There is no other God like him. He's in competition with none other. It's such a pleasure to be with you again. Just love a little bit on you and just tell you about the goodness of the Lord and how wonderful that he is. Okay, so my subject today really gets into it a little different from what I normally do, but it was the way the Lord had impacted me for the things that are happening in my life and just learning him and wanting to know him and wanting to know more about him and about his goodness that he has for the children of men. It's called change, repent, release, and be refreshed. And for me, a lot of it was my repenting from my fear, letting go of my fear, because fear means I'm not trusting God. I'm saying, hey, you know, I'm scared. I deserve to be scared. I'm going to be scared because I just don't think this is going to happen for me. And my remedy is I've got to be worried about this. You know, I don't know how. I don't. God says, trust me. That's what he's saying. Okay, so let's first review over where we are. Thy will on earth as it is in heaven in 2017. That's our thematic prowess for the year. On earth as it is in heaven. And the more I read the scriptures, Jesus came here on earth so we have a taste of him in heaven right now. And then he went back to heaven, sent back his spirit, left that with us. So we connect with him in heaven, on earth, as it is. And so we're using the Lord's Prayer, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, that will be done where? Ooh, on earth as it is in heaven. All right, and this month of July, we're on the 12th verse, is forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You know, living in that fear, living in that mindset of what is going on in my life. And a lot of times, it's fear of even of what people have said to you and how you hold on to that because you haven't let go, because you haven't forgiven them. You haven't forgiven them for what they've done in your life and the things they've done. Guess what? They're moving on. They're not having a problem. They don't even remember what you're talking about. Half of the time of what you're talking about is not even relevant to them, but it's so relevant to you. I can't tell you how many times I met my students from like 20, 30 years ago. And they're holding on to this one thing that was said to them. Like one teacher, or one student I had as a junior high in the 70s. She says, I love your music class. I had so much fun. She says, but when I went to the next teacher, they told me that I couldn't sing and I needed to do this. She has never sung since then. And she's in her 40s. I'm like, you let that define who and what you were. I said, you had a wonderful voice and you still do. But you let that define you. She says, well, it just hurt me. And I said, but you had another experience that you could have compared it with and chose that instead of this. Yeah, but that hurt me. Repent. Forgive. Let it go. Who's suffering? You are. When you change your mind, you become the ruler of your mind. You become stronger in your mind because you're in charge, because you elect. You say, I changed my mind. I did a mind thing. I told someone today, I said, no one requires you to be perfect. There's no person that can say you need to be perfect because that person is not perfect themselves, so how can I require that of you? But you'd be surprised what bullying will do. Well, you need to do this. You need to do that. And I think they have no clue about what they're talking about, but they make you think that they do and that they have power over you. Why is that? Because you give your power away. Snatch it back. No longer. No longer. Whatever I do, right or wrong, and I'll pray and fast that it's right, but it's my decision. It's between God and I, and I will use him as my God. He says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. He didn't tell you to go to your bestie and ask them what their opinion was and then do what they said to do. Because guess what? They don't live in the future. They can't predict a thing. Nothing. So it's best to trust in the Lord with all of thy heart. Lean not into your own understanding, let alone somebody else's understanding. Are you serious? You are responsible for you. Now you can choose to use somebody else's stuff. It doesn't work for you or them. Mm-hmm. Or you can choose so you can't lose with the stuff I use because it's Jesus. Hallelujah. Which brings us to our scripture. Okay, so we're in Corinthians 13th chapter. And I think I'll set this up a little bit so that you'll be updated as to where we are and what's going on. So we're talking here about Abijah. Now, Abijah's daddy was Rehoboam. Rehoboam did not the things that were right in the sight of the Lord. He just didn't. But yeah, some to be placed in such power and position as a king and not abide by the one who stuck you in there, put you in there. You just do your own thing because, you know, I got power now. I got the title. I got this. Wasn't sweet. And guess what? He didn't die sweetly. Nothing was sweet about that. So Abijah being the son said, oh, okay, I saw that. I'm not doing that. I'm going to repent from that kind of thinking. I'm changing my mind. I'm changing my course. And being the king, I'm choosing God. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Well, he was the king over Judah. And then there was Jeroboam, who was the king over Israel. Much bigger. And Jeroboam said, well, we're just going to come and attack you, and we're going to take this thing because I'm bigger and badder. I have 800,000 footmen. Okay? You only have 400. I'm twice who you are. So I rule and I rock. So let's get started with the scriptures now and see what happens. 2 Chronicles 13, chapter 10, verse. But as for us, the Lord is our God. Now, this is Abijah having a conversation with Rehoboam because Rehoboam has told him, you're not really much, but I'm all that, and I got this in you. But the difference was Abijah knew who he believed in. He knew who he was. He had changed his mind from his dad's mind. And he repented of that. He released it and let it go. And, you know, he said, oh, no, no. So he said to him, but as for us, the Lord is our God. And we have not forsaken him. And the priests which minister unto the Lord are the sons of Aaron. Oh, we even got the right kind of stuff on our team. Okay. And the Levites wait upon their business. What does that mean? They wait on their business. That's a good one. And they will burn unto the Lord every morning and every night. Comparable data. We do this morning and then at night. We do it. So we know our sacrifice unto the Lord. And we sacrifice burnt incense, the showbread. Also, they set an order upon the pure table and the candlestick of gold and with the lamps are up to burn every evening. For we keep the charge. Whatever God had commanded, we're doing it. Okay? We keep the charge of our God. But ye have not forsaken him. It says, but ye, talking about you, Jeroboam, you forsaken him. We all know you don't serve him. Oh, guess what? God knows that too. And behold, 12th verse, God himself is with us for our captain. And the priest with the sounding trumpet to cry alarm against you. O children of Israel, fight ye not against the Lord God of your fathers. He said, look, man, you don't want to mess with this. You don't want to walk up on this. He said, don't fight against this. God is with us. He said, it won't go well for you. He said, you shall not prosper. Well, Jeroboam, being who he was, said, look, dude, you dabba dabba, yeah, yeah, yeah. I got 800 men. You only have 4. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. He said, honey, it won't go well for you. He didn't listen. So you were not pressing. 13. But Jeroboam caused an ambush to come from what? Behind them. So they were before Judah, and the ambush was behind Judah. And when Judah looked back, behold, he said, the battle's before and behind. I'm surrounded. He was in front when I was talking to him. Now he went, took the men, and he went in the back. He had 800 of them. Okay, let me make sure that clarification. 800,000, that's almost a million. Yeah, surrounded them. And Judah looked back, and he said, oh, no. They cried unto the Lord, and the priest sounded the trumpet. He cried out and got that music going. Okay. And the trumpets represented the worship, saying, God, I know you hear me. I trust you. I'm worshiping because that's the only tool I have right now of weaponry that's going to work for me. We're surrounded. Okay. Then the men of Judah gave a shout. And the men of Judah shouted, and it came to pass. What came to pass? God smote Jeroboam. You're going to lose stuff I use. God took him out. He thought he was all this in a bag of chips with his 800,000 footmen against Abijah. But who the fuck? Somebody lost it. He forgot who was their captain. Bad deal. God was their captain. God smote them. 500,000 of them. Jeroboam only had 4,000. Well, actually, I only had 300,000 left. And the men had courage and took them out. You don't mess with someone who serves God and has God as their captain. As Prego says, what's in there? What insurance? What's in your wallet? Is God the captain? Have you let go of your stuff, your thought, your thinking, your fear, and said, no. I gave this testimony yesterday, and I'll give it quickly here. When you call on God, you can depend on him and know. My son had an accident while we were at the beach with his zipper going to the bathroom. He zipped himself, his private parts, up in the zipper. It was horrendously horrible. There was a drunk there with a knife. He says, I'll cut the thing. I said, give me the knife, don't you go anywhere near my son. So we cut the pants off from around it, but he was still in a lot of pain and a lot of trouble. And I said, take a deep breath. I pulled the zipper, and his testicles swelled up over that. I'm like, we got a problem here. So I was just there with the kids and I, and we were down about 4 miles out of Zanesville, maybe 5 or 6. So anyway, my father-in-law at that time, my grandpa, lived on the street, but his house is way up on a hill. And I called the ambulance. I didn't know what else to do. I didn't know we were going to have to cut it. I didn't know what we were going to have to do. So I called on my captain, Jesus. I'm like, look, I'm going to be flying down behind this ambulance, flying down this highway. And their grandparents' house, as I said, was way up on the hill. I said, I need him to be dressed in his car down at the foot of the hill with the car running when we drive by with the ambulance. Now, we're about 6 miles or so, I guess it's maybe more than that, out of south of Zanesville. We didn't have cell phones. I didn't call him. I called Jesus. Jesus knows the phone to his heart, mind, body, and soul. Hello. That's who I called. I said, hey, Captain, I'm going to need you to get in this man's mind. For some reason, he's going to be dressed at the bottom of the hill with the car running, have his eyes open, not looking at just got in the mail, don't see me, all the cars flying by. But he's going to see the ambulance, and he's going to see me, and he's going to follow me to this hospital. Yeah, that's pretty ostentatious. But who do I serve? Who's on my side? Who's running my ship? What captain do I call him to come to my rescue? I said, this is my child. I had all 5 of my babies with me. Lord have mercy. So I drive by their house. Guess who's at the foot of the hill in the car with the car running, dressed, and I flag him and say, come on. Bam, he takes off, follows me to the hospital. That's the kind of connection you want to have. Okay. I get to the hospital, and the doctors and the nurse are freaking out because he's got this zipper and the testicles are swollen up over it. And we're going to have to just cut it out. I said, oh, you're not cutting my son and ruining him for the rest of his life. Forget that. I said, I'm a seamstress. Give me a flat screwdriver, and I got this. So when you have a zipper, the molding part of the zipper is a molded one-piece cast iron. It's in a mold. There are no seams in this cast iron. So I just said, well, here we go, Jesus. Samson was the strongest man on earth, I can become the strongest woman on earth right now. I need to go inside of this thing and break this cast solid mold urn in half. In Jesus' name. I told them, give me the flat screwdriver and get out. And they did. Because they were just like, oh, oh. I'm like, get out. I'll start speaking in tongues. I thought you could hear me. I'll put that flat iron. I said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, somehow I'm going to have enough strength to break this casted mold iron one piece with no seam in half. In Jesus' name. Go to Vienna! And I did. In half it went, and I had so much strength and energy in it, the screwdriver went into my finger. I thought, that's all right, it'll heal. Got it. And I said, you can come back in now, it's over. So I just took the zipper apart and took out, said, this is fine. Had a little tiny band-aid, bam, we were out of there. But I'm saying, and I have fear that I had to repent from on the way there, because I'm like, God, I'm going to need you. I cannot go in here fearful. I have to be fearless. So I had to let that go. I had to release that. I had to repent from the fear of just, I'm like, forget that. I have God on my side. Whatever we need, I'm ammunized to do it. I have enough ammunition. Whatever it is, God will supply. And I want somebody there praying, and their dad was out of town. And I'm saying, I'm on my own doing this, and woo-hoo. But their father, their grandpa was down at the foot, like I asked Scott for him to be, up off the hill at that specific time, dressed with the car running. That was my request to the T, and that's what God did to the T, because I had confidence that God will honor my words. And that's what you want, is confidence to know that he will honor your words. But you got to be like David, man. You know, you got to repent. Not repeat and not return. You have to come to him with a clean heart. I mean, with all David did, he did it with his action, with his physical cognitive, but with his heart and his spirit, God said he had a clean heart before him, and there was no other person that had a heart like David. He had a heart to do right. He did a lot of wrong things, but he repented, and he didn't repeat it, and he didn't return. That's what David did. So when you let go, release it and really let it go and let God work on your behalf. Any situation that you walk up on is not new to God. He's already been there and done that. All you have to do is ask him. He's already finished. He already has a solution. If you're being led by him, they want to do surgery on my child. He's married for 5 years now, no problems. But, I mean, that could have been serious. But they said, we're just going to have to cut it out. You're not cutting my child. Give me the flat screwdriver and get out. Was I authorized to be in the emergency room behind the curtain without gloves and all the other stuff I'm supposed to be medically have? No, I said, this is my child. Get out. I got this. And I just started worshiping in the spirit. Called on the powers and the strength of Samson, and I broke that cast molded iron in two pieces that had no seams. But I serve God. There's nothing. It's not a surprise to him. Just ask him. But ask him in faith, believing. I'll leave you with the scripture that says, whatsoever you desire, not neither want, because he said, Lord, my shadow, shadow, you don't have to want. Believe it. But he said, whatsoever you desire, whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe now, and it shall be. That's all God is asking. Do you believe me? Do you know how to strength? Look what Jeroboam did. He said, I've already told him you're our captain, and it wasn't going to go well for him, but God, he has surrounded us. I didn't anticipate that. But nevertheless, I'm still calling on you. God said, no problem. Wiped out 500 right before his eyes. He didn't do a thing with Superman look. That's the kind of God that we serve. Repent. Repent in the morning, repent in the evening. The Lord, whatever it is, forgive me. Let me let it go. Let me let my whatever I'm holding against someone that, you know, has made me very uncomfortable. Bless them. He says, bless your enemies. Somebody stole my barbecue the other day, and I'm like, you know what God's going on. I'm like, okay, he says, bless your enemies. So I had to bless them. I'm like, well, I guess they had a nice four. I went out with my meat all seasoned and ready to go. My master, no barbecue pit. I had to bless my enemies. Did I want to? No. I want my barbecue pit, and I want them to feel the wrath because they took it. But you know what? That's none of my business. God says that, what's the scripture? He talks about vengeance is mine. You're going to reap with yourself. You a thief and a liar, you'll get yours. But I'm asking the Lord to bless them and have mercy on them. They know they have no business messing with my stuff. Okay? I said that. You need to understand, not a good choice. Like Jeroboam did not have a good choice to disobey God, not to honor God. And they're going to come up against a man of God. I mean, if you're going to be civil enough not to serve God, then go up against people who are not serving God too. So maybe you might have a chance, but you're going to come up against somebody that worships and praises God and think you're going to win? As Abijah told him, look, man, won't go well for you. The measurable outcome will be negative. Love God. Be blessed, Father, in the name of Jesus. We bless your name. We thank you for all things. Woo! And bless this word in Jesus' name. Amen. He's an awesome God. He's somebody you want to serve. He's somebody you want to invest your time in. Read the word of God. He's an incredible source. Let it bless you. Change. Repent. Release. Be refreshed. What's all I said?